I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Hey, When I'm 64 by the Beatles on the Wayne Eddy Affair, my theme song for the 10 o'clock hour. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on this May 31st. It is a Thursday, and the year is 2018. My guest this morning is a 1969 graduate of Northfield High School. His name, Dave Johnson, and his parents were Millie and Percy Johnson, and I have a connection with the Johnsons, and I'm enjoying my conversation, and now he goes by the name Davey J to his friends and fellow teammates. I saw Dave in Owatonna at the Minnesota Sports Federation Softball Hall of Fame, and Dave was inducted into the Hall of Fame. I don't have the stats here, but I can tell you you were good and probably still are. You said you're in your 51st year.
51st year.
Well, so you go to Mankato, and you commute there with, first of all, did you live in Gage Hall?
I lived in McElroy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you go to the Viking training camps?
I've almost gone to every one since they've been there. At least I make it a couple times just to check it out.
Big Viking fan? Oh, you're wearing a Viking shirt.
Super Viking fan. My dad bought initial season tickets to the Vikings.
Sid Freeman probably lined him up.
He might have. In 1961, and we had season tickets for 55 years.
Wow.
In the family.
And?
And when the new stadium was built here a couple years ago, we decided to end the long reign with the Vikes.
How many did you have season tickets? Two or four?
We had two.
Okay.
On the 35-yard line.
Good seats.
About 20 rows up. Starting at Met Stadium, moving to the Metrodome, and then a couple years there at TCF. Yeah, and then I eventually got into the season tickets. I bought them myself and would go to the games. I bought two tickets myself for about 20 years in the 80s and 90s at the Dome. We were big fans, and we could take buddies. We could do a lot of the things, I really felt fortunate that we had it for that long.
Now, you mentioned TCF Stadium. You meant U.S. Bank.
U.S. Bank. Okay.
Do you remember my doing a show called Visit with the Vikings at 8:15 every morning?
You know, I do, because I think Mom mentioned it a little bit. I think you had Stu Voigt and people like that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Stu and I are good friends.
Right.
And, I covered the Vikings. I loved the Vikings.
Yeah.
I got to Northfield because of the Vikings. I had a job set up in Sioux City, Iowa, which is a pretty good market. I was going to be a TV weatherman there.
Sure.
And the station was going to be built, and the people that had the license got to me, and I thought, you know what? If I want to go to a Viking game from Sioux City, Iowa, it's going to take a weekend. But from Northfield, I can go.
Right up Cedar Avenue.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, when it was dirt.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you have an affinity for the Vikings, because I quit doing that show when Randy Moss and Coach Green, mm-hmm, and Chris Carter and others just wouldn't talk. They wanted money and favors. And I did some favors for some of the people, but all of them that went on my show. But at 8:15 in the morning, are you crazy?
Yeah, for sure.
Especially on Monday.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. So, David, did you get your degree in 4 years at Mankato?
I got it in five. I was on the five-year program, but okay. I did. I did get a teaching degree in Phi Ed and coaching.
And this is what you wanted to do?
This is what I wanted to do. But unfortunately, it didn't turn out that way. I searched and searched very hard for a job and never found one. I mean, it was pretty ridiculous at the time. I graduated from Mankato, which is Minnesota State now, in 74. And every job I would apply to, it just seemed like there were literally hundreds of people applying for the same job at that time. There were people out there with teaching degrees. It was unbelievable, that wanted to teach and coach and work with kids. And I searched for 2-3 years, and finally I just got into the flow of Mankato.
Let me interrupt you. When you say you searched, now this is 1974.
Yep.
Today, you would just go online.
Oh, of course.
And it'd be done with, and the computer would kick you out because you answered this no or something like that.
Right.
So when you were there, is that all letter writing?
It was all letter writing through typewriter and that kind of thing, and sending a letter off.
How far away did you apply?
I applied all over.
I mean, we're talking Utah?
Yes.
I mean, really?
Yes, we're talking positions in Colorado, Montana, Michigan. I was willing to go at the time. I really was. I was willing to leave if I could find a teaching job someplace.
So what did you do for 2.5 years?
Well, I worked. I mean, my working life started out as a cook at the Hardee's restaurant in Mankato. And so...
Hurry on down to Hardee's where the burgers are.
Yeah,
whatever.
But that's, in between the work at Hardee's and I was looking for a job. So
you were... like a McDonald's. Hardee's is like a McDonald's.
Sure, same thing.
And you have a college degree, and you're lowering French fries into the hot oil.
You bet. Yes, sir.
Did you get, like, assistant manager or night manager?
I was only there for two and a half years.
Well, that's a long time.
Yeah, and I was never offered that kind of position, but I was one of the two or three people that were working 40 hours a week there.
Okay.
But not making very good money.
No.
And, I eventually ended up getting a warehouse job, which I stayed at for 27 years in Mankato.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So you got this teaching degree and you ended up at Hardee's and a warehouse.
And then I ended up at a warehouse.
What's a warehouse?
Well, it was called Sherry Candies.
Sherry. Sherry Candies?
Yeah, and I ended up working there for 27.
What is Sherry's Candies?
We were a major brand that would, you'd notice us in Target, you'd notice us in Walmart, but what we'd do, we'd get the candies in big 50-pound boxes, and then we'd have ladies at bins that would bag the candy, put it on a machine, put a little label on it, put it in a little box, and then I would work the warehouse and ship that candy to all over the country. And so that's what I did. I was basically, a guy that worked out on the dock, and loaded trucks, and we had our own semis. We did all that, manual labor stuff with the pallet jacks and the forklifts. And
do you know Billy Stanton?
I know Bill real well.
Do you know, did you know when we referred to him as Budweiser?
I don't know.
When he was very young.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I am so proud of him. He loves his job. He literally loves his job. And by God, if you can be happy doing the job you're doing, what a blessing that is.
Because
a lot of people go to work, oh, I hate this, I got to go to work tomorrow. Yeah. So, and he's number one at Post.
Yep.
Number one. Nobody's been there longer than Billy Stanton, and I think he's going to keep on going.
I know. I've talked to Bill at a reunion, and he's always says, I just love my job.
Are you in the same class?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You didn't hang around with that group?
Not Bill per se, no. Not in high school too much.
Well, he's a farmer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 12 minutes after 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. So you got this teacher's degree from Mankato. Now, did you play sports in Mankato at the, whatever they call it?
Just intramurals at the college. I mean, I didn't play. It was way over my head there to participate there. So of course, they recruit you know, athletes, obviously, to come in. But we had, you know, good intramural teams and things like that, you know, that I, you know, spent my time, extra time.
When did you first join a softball league?
1968 in Northfield, Minnesota.
On whose team?
Johnson TV and Appliance.
Ah, Dad took care of you.
Dad took care of us for 4 years.
Okay.
It was my high school buddies. It was, you know, a couple, you know, guys that maybe were a year older. You know, we'd have about 15, 16 guys. We started out, you know, when the league was just starting to get going.
Yeah.
And it was you know, in its infancy. And Babcock was built about 1965, maybe.
Okay.
And we got in 68, so it was still fairly new. The league was new. They had a lot of church teams, not a lot of you know, commercial type teams. Had a lot of church. It was still almost considered then a recreational, just type sport, you know, that kind of thing. In 69, they split the leagues. The church went separate, and the commercial went separate. So I think in about 69, we had about five teams. Still sponsored by my dad. Still played with my buddies. Until about 1972, anyway. Until I met a gentleman by the name of Daryl Blum.
Daryl Blum, I know him.
Sure.
Yeah.
And
he's a manager, wasn't he?
Daryl was the manager of the Dairy Queen team.
Okay.
And he's the one that got me started because, you know, with my buddies and stuff, we were only playing 15 games a summer, that kind of thing. But Daryl was into it big time, was playing weekends, playing tournaments all over the area. And, you know, in 1972, I ended up playing about 120 games that summer.
Holy cow.
And that got me into it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So did Johnson TV and Appliance compete against Dairy Queen?
Yeah, I think we did.
Okay.
You know, maybe in those early years.
Were you on the Dairy Queen team with Daryl?
In 72, I was.
Okay.
But I was on the Johnson Appliance team from 68 to 71.
Okay. So what level of competition was it when Daryl Blum and Dairy Queen?
It was top level. I mean, we would go into these tournaments and play against the best teams in Minneapolis and the best teams, you know, from around the area. So we were playing at the top level at that time. You know, Daryl had his sons playing, and it was very competitive. These tournaments were very competitive, so it was, and we actually did win a couple, you know. And
what was there an organized league in Northfield? When did the not the ASA, but the Minnesota Sports Federation? When did that come around? Were you?
I think it was under the Minnesota Sports Federation then.
Okay,
actually in the late '60s.
Okay.
There was only one affiliate, and I think they were the only one at the time.
Okay.
I could be wrong on that, but I think they were. Perry Coons, of course, has been there forever, so I think they were part of that then.
So you were playing for Dairy Queen, playing up in the cities and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I got involved in softball in, I want to say, the mid to late 70s. I know I played in the early 80s. It was so much fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I remember working with the Softball Association. We'd actually do games, play-by-play. And in addition to that, lobbying for the South 40 and getting that thing in the softball and that department, rec department, help build those things.
Sure.
And then I was, I believe, chairman of the board of the Northfield Park Board when we got the new one across the river, Seckler Park.
Seckler, yes.
And at the time, they didn't want to have active park. They wanted to be passive, walk your dog, throw a frisbee.
Yeah.
And I got some guys wanted to build that baseball park, and some heavy hitters. And the park board decided to go ahead and build it.
Yeah.
And it's been an asset ever since.
Yep.
It's just
for sure.
I mean, wouldn't you have liked to have a field like that when you were a kid?
That would have been so nice. Yeah.
You actually played almost in my backyard when you were a kid, when the baseball field was on the end of 6th Street.
Memorial Field.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure.
That I had that big old house that was moved there.
Sure.
On the left side. So there was a dugout was right there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, our guest this morning is Mr. David Johnson. His buddies call him Davey J, and we have him out of Mankato State, and we have him in Hardee's, and now we have him out of Hardee's, and we have him in Sherry's Candies, and we'll continue the conversation after these important words on the Wayne Eddy Affair.
Millstream Commons Assisted Living is where the all-star seniors enjoy life in Northfield. From the delicious meals, the bright, spacious apartments, the volunteer projects, the bus trips we take, classes we attend, and the music we enjoy, there's something for everyone. At Millstream Commons, we treat everyone like an MVP. For more information, call 507-650-0141.
Capital Construction is Northfield's premier locally owned exterior construction company. As a locally owned company with the majority of their employees having graduated from Northfield High School, Capital Construction would like to salute all of the area graduates. You've put in a lot of hard work and your future is bright. Call Capital Construction for all of your exterior construction needs. Whether it's replacing damaged siding or roofs, upgrading to energy efficient windows and doors, or just giving your home an upgraded facelift to make it stand out, Capital Construction can help you give your house the exterior it deserves. Call them today for a free consultation at 952-222-4004 or check them out at capitalconstructionllc.com.
Sugar. Name that tune.
Oh, honey, honey.
The Archies.
That's correct. You got that right. But do you know the name of the song?
Sugar, sugar.
Yes. Davey J is my guest here this morning on KYMN, an outstanding athlete when it comes to slow pitch softball. Do you ever play fast pitch?
Never did. Nope.
Can you imagine? It is
unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, they play the third baseman and the first baseman actually in fast pitch play about 10 feet away. I mean, you know, from the hitter.
And young ladies, the girls, and young high school fast pitch. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Throw that ball.
It is.
And of course, who was the king in his court? Remember that guy would go around with
four guys.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I emceed a couple of those things up in I was up in Duluth area. Anyhow, I got to know the guy, and you know, as a being there,
sure.
Eddie Fainer, that's his name.
He made the rounds all over the country.
Yeah, and it was amazing. They do it blindfolded.
Oh, yeah, from second base.
Yeah, yeah. 22 past 10 on 1080. Davey J, you got this degree in Phi Ed. You want to be a teacher. You want to be a coach. And you would go anywhere to do that. You don't get, they were glutted with people with your degree in 1974. And you have to work, so you go to Hardee's. 2.5 years, that's got to be kind of almost like, gee whiz, look how old I am and look where I am with this degree. It had to be kind of a sad thing.
It was a little bit disheartening. I mean, you know, especially when you got the rejected letters all the time. I mean, I could have, you know, plastered my wall with letters of rejection, you know, and so it kind of, it did after a while, and... But the Hardee's job, like I say, was just kind of the the interaction between what I was trying to do and where I was trying to go. And, you know, that was, I had no intention of ever wanting to be a cook or anything like that.
Well, usually somebody with a degree like that and working at Hardee's, you know, might be looking to maybe buy a franchise somewhere.
Right.
And although that didn't work in Northfield.
No.
You know, we had one.
We had
at one time.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't understand. Now, it's called Sherry's?
Sherry's.
How do you spell that?
It's S-H-A-R-I.
Sherry's Candy.
Yes.
That's it?
That's it. And
What is the candy?
Well, we had all kinds of candy. I mean, we basically would get any kind of candy in and then just bag it in your individual little bags. So we would get, you know, anything from chocolates like clusters or chocolate peanuts or the hard candies or anything like that. They would dump these 50-pound boxes. You know, we'd get it in bulk. They'd dump the 50-pound boxes into bins. And then we'd have ladies standing, you know, along the lines that would bag it into these little plastic bags, put a label on it, then put it into another little box, tape it up, and those boxes would end up going out all around the country. So it was...
So Sherry did not make her own, or I don't know if it's a male or female name, Sherry.
It's just a name, I guess, yeah.
They didn't make their own candy.
They didn't make the candy. We got the candy in from, let's say, Chicago and places like that through our semis and stuff, and we would unload, you know, the big boxes of it, and then get it to the lines, and they would bag it in your little bags that you buy in the stores.
Now, you're talking about little bags, like salted nut.
Right, salted peanuts or things like that. I mean, we had all kinds of things that we would bag.
Did you put on weight?
I was pretty busy, pretty active, so anytime I would get into the cluster box, I would probably work it off.
And then, are you diabetic?
I am not, no.
Okay, you're lucky. So, all these different candies, and I can go into a store in Northfield and find it?
Not anymore. I worked there for 27 years, but I left that place because we filed for bankruptcy.
Oh, I can understand.
Yeah. After 27 years, they brought in some wrong management, and they led us down the wrong path. And
did you tell them?
Did I tell them?
Yeah.
Well, I was union, so I kind of had to kind of keep my mouth shut on the whole situation. I mean, you know, you were upset, obviously, but, you know, there was nothing much I could say.
What about, tell me about your first job at Sherry's. I mean, you've been there all those years. You must have gotten an increase in compensation different titles and all that.
Over the years, you know, we, being union, we would work our contracts and you know, based on what, you know, what our seniority was within the warehouse, that kind of thing. And I had moved up in 27 years to be the top person at, you know, at the warehouse.
You were the Billy Stanton of Sherry's
Candies. I was Billy Stanton of Sherry Candies when we filed for bankruptcy. Yes. So, you know, I mean, our positions names didn't change much. We were just basically, you know, the warehouse workers. We'd pick the orders. We'd load the trucks, and you know, we unload trucks, that kind of thing.
How many people worked there?
There at a time there was 100 people working there, but I think when we ended up closing, it was probably down to maybe about 25.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So was that candy when it came in? It was exposed, and from the container it came in to the little bags that it went into, it was exposed?
Yeah, I mean, they would come in these 50-pound, like I say, these 50-pound boxes, you know, with a big bag, you know, or whatever. You'd open up the bag and then dump the bag into the bin that the lady's working at, and then they would, you know, it would be exposed until the time that they would bag it into the smaller bags. Yeah.
Would it, like, fit up in a funnel and then the...
Yeah, you'd have your measurement or whatever, and the ladies would work the weights. Yeah.
You know, now, you mentioned the ladies all the time. Was it because their hands were more nimble and quick, or...?
I think so. It was a job that ladies didn't mind doing. You know, you could either stand or sit at your job. You know, you're basically on a conveyor that basically, I don't remember if you remember the old
I Love Lucy.
You got it.
Yeah.
It was just like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that'd be hard work.
Yeah.
I'd rather work in the warehouse.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't do that. Yeah.
Did you ever do any truck driving for him?
Never did any. No, we always had a city driver that used to drive around, you know, and deliver to the local stores and stuff. But I would help him load his truck, but never did any outside driving of any kind.
Well, where were the some of the places in all those years? I would imagine you remember some of the states that you were sending this candy to.
We would make a run to California every week. We would always deliver candy through our semis to all the Target warehouse distribution centers around the country. We were that big. We were in all the Target stores. We were on all the Walmart stores. And so we would load our semis and then deliver to the distribution centers involving, you know, places like that.
What did the logo look like? So I can't picture ever seeing a Sherry's candy.
It was a red logo on a white background, and it just said Sherry's Candies. That was strictly it. There was no, you know, other thing involved with the label or anything. It was just,
well, besides all the content and the FDA or whatever.
Right, all the information. Rules, the information was on the label, yeah.
And then it would say chocolate candy or peanut cluster.
You got it, yeah.
Okay, so you could buy Sherry's candy that would duplicate your favorite candy by Babe Ruth or Clark Bar peanut butter or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it was the same stuff probably, but just under a different label.
Have you bought a Hershey bar lately?
Not lately.
I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. The Hershey bar shrunk, and the price is 10 times more, almost, than I paid as a kid. Well, more than that. You know, they used to be a nickel.
It's like everything.
Yeah. But, I mean, you, as you go through life, you compare.
Sure.
When I was your age, you know, that thing.
Sure.
A nickel and a nice thick Hershey bar, and now they're like $1.29, and they weigh half as much as they used to. They still have the sizing of the cover, it looks like about the same size for old guys like me.
Right.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's 10:30 on 1080 Radio. My guest this morning is Dave Johnson, and he goes by Davey J. We're going to talk a little bit about his career in softball. He was installed into the Minnesota Sports Federation Hall of Fame in 2016.
This is raindrops falling in the outfield of Target Field. That is Max Kepler ensuring nothing else does. As a shout-out to our outfielders and their impossible catches, the first 10,000 fans on June 1st will get a Nothing Falls But Raindrops Kepler bobblehead presented by Pentair. Collect the Buxton and Rosario bobbles later to complete the set. Don't miss a warning track leap, sliding snag, or the first bobblehead in the series. That's how we defend our outfield. This is how we baseball. Visit twinsbaseball.com.
Accuracy is important when it comes to things like heart surgery, tightrope walking, and it's also very important for your vehicle tires to be in alignment to prevent extra wear and tear on your tires and suspension. Elite Auto Care can help ensure that your alignment is straight as an arrow, saving you time and money in the long run. They have a state-of-the-art alignment rack and offer alignment checks daily. Stop in today and make sure you're driving straight. Plus, alignment is included with the purchase of 4 new tires. Find them 6 days a week at 517 Water Street, Northfield, or online at EliteAutoCareMN.com.
'69. Number 5 in all of 1969 on Billboard's pop chart.
That's the Rolling Stones.
Yes, it is. It's all about honky tonk.
Honky tonk woman.
Right. 10:32 almost on Kim, a friend you can count on. Dave Johnson, my guest, class of 69, Northfield High School, son of Millie and Percy Johnson, that had the TV operation, TV store down in Northfield. One of the messages you just got done hearing was about the Saints. What did you say you're going to?
Tomorrow I'm going to the Kepler bobblehead at Target Field.
Oh, the Twins.
Twins are
okay. Yeah. Sorry, wrong team. Yep. All right, KYMN Radio carries the Minnesota Twins right here on 1080 and 95.1 FM, the one. All right, so there you are at this warehouse. You've been there you were there for many years. Were you able to retire out of there before they went bankrupt?
No. I was only 54 at the time. So when they decided to do that, and so I immediately got a job with Gander Mountain when they moved into Mankato.
What about your 401k or your retirement fund?
Yeah, that carried over and everything.
Oh, you didn't lose on that?
Didn't lose a cent.
Well, then it wasn't that bad.
No.
Okay.
No.
So now Gander, are they still in?
We went out of business, and that's when I retired.
So what did you do at Gander?
I did basically the same thing. I was the only person involved. I was at the back of the store, and I was a receiving lead, and took in everything that came into the store through the back door. I would market and price it and do all that stuff.
A lot of stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was just me. Never had to get out in the front store and do any selling, and I didn't really know a lot about fishing and hunting, so I didn't have to do any of that work. But I cataloged all the stuff that would come in, on computer, and do all that that stuff at the back of the store. And I was there from beginning till when we opened in Mankato till when we filed bankruptcy, which was about a year ago.
Yeah. You're bad luck.
it is amazing.
Yeah. When you were working for the candy company, everything was fine. You were in a union,
right?
Did that union, was that a union job in Mankato at Gander's?
No,
I didn't think so.
No.
So what was it like working for a company that isn't union and one that is? I've always wanted to know the difference, and you can provide that for me.
I guess with union and non-union work, with union you're protected a lot, if things happen, you've always got some reps that are going to sit there and be there to help you out or whatever. At a non-union job, which Gander was, there were more, you kind of showed up at work kind of going, well, I hope I'm doing the right thing, because they certainly could tell me to take a hike. That type of thing. So that was the main difference, I think it was, between the two.
It was an at-will employee. Employer,
yeah,
excuse me.
Right.
Okay, so did you get any samples of the candy company? Did you ever...
Sure did.
Give them out as Christmas presents or anything?
I did a lot of that, yeah.
Well, tell us about that.
Well, there would be bags that would be, put up, and the label would be crooked. And so they would go into a little box or something someplace. And so you'd be able to, check out that box ever so often and, take what you wanted, and just made sure that, you showed somebody at the front door that you weren't taking them, right off the line or anything. But, you could do that. And I always gave them as little gifts here and there, family, whatever, and did that kind of thing.
Now, I think you mentioned about, now that I know more about what that job was about. Mm-hmm. What were your favorite candies?
Oh, I love the chocolate. I did. Yeah, I was always into the peanut clusters, and I like the Twizzlers, that kind of thing, the ropes. And
red or black?
Well, red. But I liked them both.
Yeah. Do you remember the first time you tasted black licorice?
Tasted kind of tarry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, who would eat this?
Yeah.
But it's kind of addictive.
Yeah.
Boy, that's kind of a fun chew.
Sure.
24 before it's 11 o'clock. I assume then, where were you living when you worked at the candy company?
I was living in Mankato. I didn't buy my first house until I was 45. And so I lived in numerous spots in Mankato. Had roommates. I would rent basements. I would, live here and there just to... live cheaply, that type of thing. So I had plenty of spending money, to carouse around and do all those kind of things. So, So yeah, and I didn't buy my first house until I was 45. And
well, let's talk softball.
Yeah,
and you got into the Hall of Fame, and when I had the opportunity to emcee that, I read your statistics, and I just know there were a whole bunch of them, and this is an opportunity to talk about it without feeling like you're bragging. Okay, so how many different teams did you play with?
Man.
Now, was all of your softball career in Mankato?
No. Well, it was in Northfield from 1968 to 1983.
And name some of the people that you played with in Northfield.
Played with Gene Mulligan, who was an icon of softball here for many years. And I learned a lot from Gene. I played, we formed really good Legion teams here in Northfield that went out and pounded other teams. We did a really good job of doing that. And I played with the Howie brothers. I played with the Fred Blasner, who just passed here. Guys like that who really made me better. These are guys who were really good, who made me better. And that's one of the reasons that I'm in the Hall, because of guys that I played with. It's not, softball is not an individual sport. Obviously, it's a team sport, and you only get better, I think, by the people that you play around. And that's what happened to me.
Well, were you playing softball when the chiropractors were on these great teams?
Yep.
What, Horner, I think, is one name.
Kurt Hornus.
Hornus.
And I think the other one was Sigsted.
Yeah, they were good.
They were good. They were good players, but they really got a lot better after I left Northfield.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So did you ever play for Bill's Pizza?
Bill's Pizza was a team that initially was in the Northfield League when I started playing.
I think maybe Mulligan might have been.
And Mulligan might have been a part of it.
Yeah.
But Mulligan got me involved with his team about 1973 or so, and they were Legion at the time, yeah. American Legion.
I remember playing the game at the South 40. I was pitching, and Mulligan was pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And you can appreciate Mulligan and me, you know.
Uh-huh.
And,
oh, yeah.
And so we teased each other, if you will. And I'm thinking, okay, Gene's such a great pitcher, you know. He struck me out. And I couldn't believe it.
And I'm sure he cackled or said something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He loved it.
And he used to run the Defeated Jesse James Day softball tournament. And he ran that show. And I was pretty involved with the committee. And I wanted more moolah. And he didn't think it was right that he could have a softball tournament that he put together during Defeated Jesse James Days in Faribault and Northfield, because you needed the fields. He couldn't understand that we needed a vendor cost to us to help promote, because that's why they're here.
Right.
And at the time, I always thought he was making a lot of money. And then I found out how much work it was.
Oh, it's tremendous work. I've played in every Jesse James tournament that's ever been involved here in Northfield. I started with the first one here. I went to the end with Gene, and then Todd Fredrickson picked it up for a while here in town.
Kenny Johnson?
Kenny, I don't know if Kenny ran it. Did Kenny?
For Defeated Jesse James Days, he did run a tournament one or two times.
Okay. But yeah, it's a lot of work, and they don't make a lot of money on it.
Oh, I was thinking they were making a ton.
No, it's not, because they end up having to pay off the umpires and the teams and stuff who participate. And the bottom line is, at the end, at Jesse James tournaments, they weren't making any money, and so they weren't getting any teams to show up anymore.
Really?
Yeah, and it died.
I thought it was one of the premier tournaments.
It was. It was one of the best tournaments, you know, and it worked out so perfectly. And to this day, I still can't understand why a tournament can't be run here in Northfield with Jesse James Days. I mean, it's to me, there always should be a softball tournament run here in town. You bring people in.
Well, believe me, I know all about
it. Yeah, yeah.
What a benefit it is.
Yeah.
And what a relief it is for the wives and kids to go to a softball tournament and get to do something else besides sitting in the bleachers. Go to the carnival, go to the all. I mean, it's ideal. And all teams are pretty much done by the weekend after Labor Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know there's a little bit of cheating that went on in regards to you bring your team and you are picking up other people off other teams and coming in. But then other teams did the same thing. So the competition was pretty tough.
That was the way it was. I mean, you know, we personally, I remember, you know, never winning Jesse James tournament. I mean, there were always good teams in it, but we did place fairly well in these tournaments a couple times. But we had to play an awful lot of games against a lot of teams to finally get, you know, to Sunday night.
Double elimination.
Double elim, that type of thing, you bet. You bet. But it is sad because I, as you know, being born here and going through those tournaments for all those years, it's sad that we can't continue to have something here for that weekend.
Well, you know what you're saying is you're using the word we. So that means that you have a connection still to Northfield. This
I
is
do.
Your hometown.
You bet.
You live in Mankato. Why don't you...
I have thought about that.
Why don't you run a tournament here?
And I have actually thought about that. But what I saw happening here the last few years that the tournament was run, there just doesn't seem to be the interest. And I don't know how I could create that interest.
Okay. Yeah. Well, when I was playing softball in Northfield, there were about 1,000 people playing men's and women's softball.
You bet.
In this town.
You bet.
And now...
It's dying, you know.
And it's so much fun.
Yeah, it is.
I would love to have been in your shoes and been a really good...
I played in the heyday. I've always told people this, that I think that I played in the heyday of slow-pitch softball because things have changed, you know. Technology is, you know, the kids are into different things. When I was playing, when I was young, everybody was playing.
Yeah,
everybody. I mean, that was, you know, their, you know, outlet to you know, away from, you know, just life in general. It was to play softball. Not anymore. There's too many other things going on, and slow pitch is taking a slow nosedive, which is unfortunate, of course.
Every once in a while, and we discussed it. The quarterback club team that I was involved with for years. Having a reunion of all the players, and so you just try to see if you can remember all the players. And I'm going, well, I was the coach manager, and I pitched if necessary.
Sure.
Our first baseman was a former goalie in hockey. He was short, but he could stretch.
Yeah.
Jim Engen. And then on second, I had. Donnie Freeman. You remember Donnie?
I played with a couple teams with Don, yeah.
He's very good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
At shortstop, I had Dale Finger. Do you know the Fingers?
I know the Fingers, yeah, but I never did play on any teams with Dale, no.
Okay. At third base, I had, this is my most favorite story, right out of high school, kid named Andy Birkbaum.
And I know Andy's a good friend of mine.
Did he ever tell you the story? Probably not.
He might have, but...
Next time you see him, mention this story. I put him at third base. He wanted to play outfield.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, I want you on third. I want to play the outfield. I said, I want you on third. Okay, you're the coach. You got it. And you know why I wanted him at third was because he could take those little stinger bloopers. He could catch them.
Sure, sure.
And he could stretch to the right and to the left.
Sure.
And he had an arm he could throw. And he was good.
And he could play.
Yeah, he was good.
You bet.
And then in left field, I had a guy from Owatonna. He was at the banquet that you got installed. Not going to remember his name.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had a John Berg. And he died. He passed away. I couldn't believe it. Larry Benjamin, the late Larry Benjamin.
Of the bus service?
Yeah, but at that time it was the quarterback club.
Okay.
He owned the quarterback club. And he played when he could. And he was on our team when we went to tournaments. And, you know, we all were very well behaved.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, right.
And I had Jim Goodflesh was played right field. Anyhow, I wish I could get together with all those guys. Two of them died, though. I can't believe it.
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing is now at the age we're at, it's happening more. And I've played with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of players, you know, over 51 years. That's the unfortunate thing. You know, you kind of always talk about getting together. But then again, it reminds you that you should do this when you see somebody pass or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What position do you play?
Majority of the time I played first base.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I started as an outfielder, and then my quickness kind of left me a little bit in my early 20s, and I found out that there's more action in the infield, I hated running at the fences and crashing into them and all that other stuff, and so I didn't stay out there very long. I decided that first base was where I wanted to be, and so...
Did you call the shots, or did you have to convince somebody to let you play first? Because somebody else had been playing before you.
Well, yeah. I mean, I kind of, you know, when I got picked up by different teams like Darryl or Mulligan or whatever, I said, well, where can I play? And they said, well, you know, Billy Fossum's getting a little old or something.
Billy,
like
Billy, I had him on my show.
Sure, sure. Right. He's getting a little old or whatever, yeah. And I hope Billy's not listening, but, you know.
He might be.
Yeah, it's that kind of situation where you're kind of, you know, I said, well, can I play first, you know? Eventually I was young. He moved me in, and that's how I got to play with teams, you know, and started to establish that position anyway.
So when you were in college, did you forego the summer in Northfield and play softball in Mankato?
I would play both Mankato and Northfield.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it worked out. My schedules would work out where I was playing every night of the week and every weekend, and I would interchange in between Northfield. The Northfield schedule worked out perfect where I could come back and play, and then I would go play another night in Mankato or whatever, so that kind of worked out really good for me.
Do you remember the quarterback club team? Were you playing then, back in the 80s, early 80s?
Yeah, I don't exactly.
Okay, I just wondered.
Sure.
All right. It's 10 minutes before 11 o'clock. Davey J., my guest on KYMN Radio. Dave Johnson, he is the son of Millie and Percy, the late Johnsons. He is the big brother of Dawn, Julie, and Jean. And let's talk about Dawn. Is she the one living in town?
She's living in town, yeah.
Okay, now is she married and a mother and all that stuff?
She lost her divorced? Husband. Lost her husband.
A widow.
Yeah, a widow a couple years ago, Larry Rott, who was a Northfield graduate of 71.
R-A-A-D-T.
Yeah. And lost him a couple years ago, and she retired and bought Mom and Dad's place here in town. And she's... spending time out at the retirement center, working in Northfield Retirement Center, you know, working, and she does some work at the food shelf. So she keeps busy that way.
I probably know her.
I'm sure you do. Yeah. She's trying to become a very local person.
Okay.
They call her Mini Millie. So.
Oh, good. So okay, that's quite a compliment.
Yeah.
What about Julie?
Julie lives in Dallas, Texas, with her husband. They've lived there for. Forever, it seems like. She graduated from Luther, and after a short stint in Arizona, they ended up moving to Dallas, where he worked for IBM for many years, and now teaches at Texas. What is it? Texas Christian, and she's retired. Also, was a part-time elementary teacher, and decided to retire and. She's lived with multiple myeloma for many years now, and doing a good job of battling it. And
what is that?
It's a cancer, I really can't explain exactly what multiple myeloma it's called.
Okay, how about Jean?
Jean lives in Lakeville. She is divorced from her husband, has two kids, and she worked at a place up there called Johnson Plastics. As a catalog director, doing the catalog work for them. Just recently lost her job to them, and now is working for, what's the place called? I can't really remember. It's something like ANG Business Services or something like that. Deals with people who become displaced and have lost family and really, you know, need help in terms of, you know, their direction in life. So she works for that company.
So how many nieces and nephews do you have?
I have, let's see, 7 nieces and nephews by count.
When's the last time you and Dawn and Julie and Gene got together?
We get together about once a year.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, if we can. Good if, for if you. We can work out something where we all might be available, you know, at a certain time. And the last time we worked it out, now that 2 of us are retired, we drove down to Dallas and had Thanksgiving down there. So you know, we get together, whenever we can, you know, which is obviously not as much as we probably should. But
David, I'm going to take a final break, and when I come back, I don't have a memory of all the great things you did as a player, softball player, but if you can remember some of the stats that I read off at your induction, I'd like to hear it again because, man,
sure. You
sure belong in the Hall of Fame.
Syngenta Seeds of Stanton knows that one of the biggest events in the lives of many area high school students is graduation. They wish the Cannon Falls and Randolph graduates much success in the future. For all your seed needs and crop protection, contact your Syngenta dealer.
The staff at Heritage Dental in Northfield would like to take a special time out to wish all the Northfield graduating seniors the very best in the future. Congratulations and good luck. Heritage Dental Care would also like to thank you for your patronage.
For almost 40 years, the name Paulzine has been linked to quality glasswork in the area. When it was time to get your windshield fixed, you called Paulzine. When your vehicle needed maintenance or repair, you had to find someone else to call. Not anymore. Paulzine Glass in Northfield is now also Paulzine Auto Repair. The same Paulzine Glass quality now available to service your auto repair needs. Everything from oil changes and tire repair to transmissions and engines. For more information, go to the Paulzine Auto Repair Facebook page or call Dale, our ASE certified master mechanic at 645-6450.
Milo Peterson Ford congratulates this year's graduates. Your dedication, hard work, and commitment will take you far. Milo Peterson Ford offers their customers a comfortable, no-pressure environment to find the best vehicle for your needs. Serving Kenyon, Faribault, and Owatonna.
Number one song, 1969. Davy J, tell me the name of this song and who sang it.
Love this song. It's the Fifth Dimension.
Yes, that's correct. Name it. Well, for the sake of time, I'll tell you what it is. Are you ready?
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
Right.
Aquarius,
we are live from our studios in downtown Northfield. That was the number one song in 1969, The Fifth Dimension and Aquarius. David is my guest, Dave Johnson, Davy J. You don't happen to have on file the thing that we gave you along with your beautiful plaque that talked about what you've done in softball?
I pretty much know what I've done because for 51 years, I kept track of my stats.
Wow.
You know, I would write them down, so I exactly know. I know in the neighborhood of the ballpark.
Did you average out your average for all 51 years? Or?
Well, the average, I'm sure, was probably about 530.
On base.
On base average is probably about 600.
Jeez, that's pretty good.
But, yeah.
Okay, how many home runs?
I've got that right down to the number, 782. I've got the hits down almost close to it. I'm over 5,000 hits now. Over 3,000 games as a player, another 1,000 as a manager. It accumulates to, you know, over 100 games a summer, you know, for 50 some years. So it's an awful lot.
Well, Would a psychologist say anything about a guy that's so involved like that?
I don't know what they'd say. I mean, I fell in love with the game at an early age, and I just continued to pursue it and play it, and played at a top level.
Well, you've played in nationals.
Yes, I've played or managed in 10 nationals.
In, other states, they were held in various states.
Right.
Yeah,
we went all over. All over the state. I played, played in California. I played in New York. I played in Indiana, places like that. It really covered a gamut of.
Who's the best player of all time, in your opinion?
That I played with.
Yeah.
I would say Mike Remick, a local Northfield guy here, that absolutely just. He ended up playing with some of the better teams in Minnesota. But it's a close run. There's a local guy here in town who's the principal of Sibley School. Scott Sanis.
Yeah, I ran into him a week or so ago. Yeah.
He amazing player.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll see him in September when we go in and talk to all the kids about... Joseph Lee Haywood, the hero of defeated Jesse James days. I ask this question of individuals who don't have the storied background that you have. Mm-hmm. They remember, I ask them to remember if you were on a football or a basketball or whatever. What's the one play you'll never forget the rest of your life that involved you? And 99% of them come up with it. One guy came up with somebody else's play. But it's hard to ask you that question, but I'm sure it's there. What's the one play you'll never forget involved you?
I think it's the one game that sticks out with me. I mean, it was over in Faribault, I think, over in a tournament, and I think I was playing with a Mankato team, and I can't remember which one, but... It was the days of unlimited home runs, and I hit five home runs in the game, I'm kind of thinking the ball that day was looking like a beach ball. You kind of look at games. It's not the more or less the.
What was the final score?
Oh, I have no idea. I'm sure it was probably the 30-29 or something like that.
And folks, if you don't know it, they actually have. Hitters that are so good that they can pop a home run almost every time they're up, approximately.
Sure.
And it ends up that you can only have so many home runs, and after that, it's called an out.
Yep. The game has changed big time over that.
What do you think of that?
I never liked it. Of course, I was a home run hitter. I prided myself on hitting home runs and driving in runs, and so when they changed the rule... I didn't like it at all because you had to change your swing. You couldn't take your big full swing anymore. You had to be able to look around the field and drive it someplace, and it changed my game. But I did make an adjustment, I thought, fairly well, but I didn't like it because I came up with the...
Well, Davey J, I'll tell you the one thing that that I couldn't do is I don't know how you and other people do it, and that is... pick a spot batting. Oh, I think I'll hit it. Mine always went between second and third.
Right.
And that's it.
Right. Because we grew up, playing that way.
Yeah.
But the game changed, and the equipment and the balls and the limits that they put on things, you had to, if you still wanted to play and you still wanted to be good, you had to practice at making the change.
All right. Yeah. Is there one team on there that you have printed up?
Well,
you can say their names and then we'll get out of here.
This is my first team, of course, that I had in Northfield, and it involved a lot of my teammates and buddies that, I graduated with. And so, Steve Harmer, Daryl Hutton, Steve Olson, Jim Bees, Joel Schilling, Dennis Howie, Galen Sebchak, P.O. Johnson, my dad was on the roster, Jim Bierman, Steve Obiad, Vic Berthler, Marshall McKay, Gary Hall, Mark Swigum, Terry Kasperson, Craig Volick, Dave Shumway, Scott Crosgrove, That was my first team here in Northfield, and that's 50 years ago. So.
And that's something. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I knew half of those people at least.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
Davey J. Hey, thank you for coming in, Davey J.
You got
it. Could be a disc jockey. Hi, I'm Davey J in the morning. Anyhow, David Johnson, thank you for coming in.
Thanks
from
for
Mankato.
Having me, Wayne.
And, you know, once again, I really, really respected your mom, Millie. She was a sweetheart.
Thank you.
I mean, I think of her every year when I'm
you bet.
Celebrating a birthday, because she'd always bring me a birthday card, and you I'd bet. Always forget to get her one. She's a sweetheart. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Wayne.
David Johnson, my guest here on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota. We are the one. That would be 95.1 FM, broadcasting live from our studios in downtown Northfield, Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Terry Knight. Join me weekday mornings at 6:23 for Garden Bite, where I deliver nibbles of knowledge on all things in the garden, right here on your radio station, KYMN, AM 1080, and now FM 95.1, or streaming on kymnradio.net.